Welcome to the Brief Signal. Let's get into it. So, open-weight AI models are not just catching up to the frontier, they're now state-of-the-art on specific tasks and near-frontier on coding. Did you see Aaron Levi's take? He says the gap is marginal, not widening, and that really pushes value up into the applied layer. The new GLM 5.2, with its 1 million context and strong coding gains, is a great example. The signal for us is pretty clear. The model itself is quickly becoming a commodity. The durable advantage is shifting to the substrate, things like compute economics, data gravity, and governance. And of course, to the founder's own data and unique workflow layer. This changes the conversation with founders. Instead of just, which model do you use, we can ask, where are you paying frontier prices for work an open-weight model, post-trained on your data, could do at a fraction of the cost? Or is your architecture truly model-agnostic? Can you swap a Gemini, a Claude, or an open-weight per workload without re-architecting everything? And here's the thing, that shift to commoditization connects directly to something else I saw this week, the rise of AI loops. Boris Cherney from Claude Code calls the move from agents to loops as big a jump as code to agents was. His team is now running loops that autonomously do things like code reviews, maintenance, and fixes on a continuous basis. We're even starting to see loop libraries emerge for repeatable workflows. The under-discussed implication here is that loops invert the cost model. A one-shot agent runs once, but a loop runs the same large context, like an entire code repository or a massive set of documents, over and over. Suddenly, token spend, not raw capability, becomes the binding constraint. Most teams aren't architected for this kind of continuous high-volume spend. Founders care because loops turn AI from a per-task expense into a continuously running line item. The teams that win are the ones who can drive that cost per iteration down without sacrificing quality. This brings up some really sharp questions for founders. Have you actually priced what one loop costs per run at scale? What happens when you run it across your entire code base nightly? And are you resending the same context every single iteration, or are you caching it? And are you running every step on an expensive frontier model, or are you smartly routing the cheaper steps to a more cost-effective one? Speaking of running AI at scale, there's the ongoing challenge of making sure it's right. Dan Klein from Scaled Cognition put it well on Gradient Descent. LLMs are plausibility engines, not truth engines. They're optimized for next token prediction, which structurally means they can produce confident errors. Retrofitting reliability with external checks is slow and doesn't offer hard guarantees. Dan argues that truth has to be a design principle, not just a patch. For high-stakes work, think legal, healthcare, finance, a confidently wrong answer is a liability event. The bar isn't fewer hallucinations, it's outputs you can trace to a source and check before they reach a customer. So the practical question isn't how we fix the model, because we can't directly, it's about what architecture moves an output from plausible to verifiable when the stakes demand it. We can ask founders, for your highest stakes outputs, are you grounding against your own governed data and verifying, or are you trusting the model's prior and hoping? And what's the gate between a model's answer and your customer? An evaluation, a grounding check, a human, or nothing?
And when the stakes are high, governance becomes absolutely critical. The Anthropic Flable 5 shutdown exposed a new dynamic. Frontier lab missteps are handing the access control layer to the hyperscalers. Chamath Palihapitiya argued on All In that this is an incredible opportunity for us to implement know your customer requirements, audit trails for prompt data, and identity controls over who runs powerful models and why. Governments are pushing this direction too, with mandatory reporting on jailbreaks and findings. The lane this opens isn't just capacity, it's the governance maturity that newer labs simply can't match. We can ask founders, if a compliance or data provenance issue cut off access to your primary model tomorrow, what breaks and how fast could you fail over? Okay, let's switch gears a bit to talent and what some leading builders are doing. Did you see Noam Shazir left Google for OpenAI? He's the co-inventor of the Transformer and Mixture of Experts. It's a genuine loss of frontier talent for Google following other senior DeepMind departures. It signals a lot about where top talent sees the action. This actually operationalizes that truth problem we just talked about. Illicit, for example, is spending around $2,000 a week on tokens, orchestrating ChatGPT, Claude, and sometimes Gemini against each other. They're doing this to push accuracy past any single model's ceiling because individual models are easy to push around. For your high-stakes outputs, what's the unit economics of reliability? What do you pay per verified answer, and is multi-model orchestration cheaper than the cost of being wrong? So with all this in mind, what does this mean for us on the ground this week? I've been thinking about what I'd call two-layer pricing. There are two layers in AI, and your founder is really competing on exactly one. There's intelligence per dollar, which is the model layer, and as we've discussed, that's commoditizing fast. Then there's dollars per outcome, which is the application layer, where the founder actually makes money, like cost per resolved ticket or per shipped pull request. This week, try to diagnose which layer is this founder on. If they're on the cost layer, focused on high-volume, loop-heavy workloads, you're talking Gemini Flash, context caching, batch API, and model routing. If they're on the outcome layer, high stakes and differentiated, you're talking the Gemini Enterprise Agent Platform, Jeep internally, plus their own data, grounding, and evaluation. We can't change our models, but placing the founder on the right layer with the right architecture is how we show up as an advisor, not just a price quote. And thinking about how we show up as advisors, what we're seeing externally really echoes these themes. Apple, for example, just committed to a custom 1.2 trillion parameter Gemini model for Siri. They're running queries on device in Apple's private cloud and on Google's NVIDIA B200 GPUs for heavy reasoning. This sits alongside other massive Google compute commitments. The point isn't that Google has spare GPUs, no hyperscaler does, it's that the most demanding customer in tech committed to Google for the full stack at once, a custom model, the compute to run it, and the governance around it. As the model layer commoditizes, the durable win is being chosen as that substrate, model, compute economics, and governance in one committed relationship. Apple's bet is exactly that play, at the largest possible scale.
Yogan Kilpatrick from Google DeepMind frames this as the agentic Gemini era, where we're optimizing for customer outcomes over engagement, and where the model eats the harness. That scaffolding that starts external gets absorbed into the model over time. This ties straight to the loop story we talked about. As loops become the default, the harness customers build today for things like caching, routing, grounding, and evaluation is exactly what the platform should absorb. And pricing that loop economically is the near-term seller conversation. It feels like we're moving from a world where everyone was chasing the hottest model to one where the smart money is on how you run those models economically, reliably, and with strong governance. Thanks for listening. Leave feedback on this episode at the bottom of the page.